Thank you for tuning in to this week's Just Ball Things. If you're catching us on the podcast, remember to give us a rating and review. And now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening from wherever you're listening across the world. Welcome to another episode of Just Ball Things. With me today, as always, is the J-Man, Jack Manuel. How are you, mate?
Very well, Nick. Did you know that OTGS t-shirts now? DesignTree.com? DSGN, by the way. There's no S and I, because it's too cool. You know, it's like, remember the Office episode where...
So it's like shorthand design.
Shorthand. All about it.
So DesignTree, DSGN.
.com. Also, find on OTGBasketball.com/store if you want to check that out,
mate,
there as
you
well.
You are all about the shameless plugs.
All about it. It's going to become this new sportsbet.com.au of the... of this
except
podcast.
It's actually relevant.
We could actually make some money from this. There will be JBT designs happening. Zionology is in the works. Nick and I are trying to figure out the definition. We're coming with that.
Wouldn't it be funny if he's just another Anthony Bennett?
I don't want you to say that because it ruins the t-shirt, Nick. It won't sell. Don't talk it down, mate. But yes, dsgntree.com.
/off-the/glass.
If you need it, hit me up at the JMJBT. And if you want some designs, you know, well, we can make them for you.
Yeah. All right, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
JBT no, designs things, happening. There is currently...
Things are kicking off, Jackie boy.
There is a the Brooklyn Buzz tee there and an OTG logo one. So JBT one's coming soon. Fortunately for the Australian listeners, shipping costs $45. But if you would like to pull it together, I've said this before. If you want to pull it, me, Nick, and then 9 other people... That's $5 each. And if 9 other people would make it $4 each. 7 other people. We'll do it and, you know, we can get some stuff going.
Damn. Mate, you've got this stuff organized.
Economics 101.
Very nice. My name is Nick Busink. And, mate.
Yes.
I went to see Harry Potter and the Cursed Child over the weekend.
Oh, you bum!
Over the Thursday, Friday.
Oh, nice.
So I haven't quite been around... as much
you're
as
coming over after, right?
Am I?
I don't know. No. Maybe tomorrow. Were you over? Weren't you over yesterday?
Yeah, I was over.
Yesterday. Yeah, I didn't see you.
Straight. I came back from the city.
Was it good?
It was great. It was very good. I know there's a lot of people who have read the book and who were not convinced.
Book. I liked the book.
You liked it?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Okay, that's good. You're the only person I have ever spoken to that has liked it.
I like the J.K. Rowling is a great storyteller. She's not a great writer. She's essentially the Game of Thrones writers.
Yeah, because there were a lot of inconsistencies that I had later spoken to friends about. It's like, why did this happen when this happens? I'm like, yeah, it's a good point. Like, there's a lot of holes in it.
Yeah.
But it was still an entertaining story. The stage show itself was amazing.
I lived in London for 2 years and I didn't see it.
They do amazing work. It's at the Princess Theatre. More tickets. I mean, I'm not getting sponsored by them at all. But more
DesignTree.com/HarryPotter.
More tickets have been released. If you're living in Melbourne and you like Harry Potter, even to a slightest extent, it is definitely worth
going
to see it. It's essentially set when Harry's second son starts Hogwarts.
Cool.
That is... the timeline at which it's set.
I like it.
There's some cool things with like the way that they did Dementors.
Yep.
And it's all very exciting.
Literally, I lived in London for 2 years, Nick, where it all began. I've been to the theatre where it all began, and it was impossible to get tickets then, but Melbourne might be a little bit easier. And it's been going on in New York for a while as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, it's expensive, so be prepared to pay, but it is great. It's worth it.
Yeah, maybe a birthday it's present for me. My birthday is in November, but, you know, I might have an early birthday present.
There are tickets in November. They've got all the way through to December, so you've got plenty of time.
Yes.
Mate.
Yes.
You can catch us on Twitter.
Yes, you can.
At the JManJBT and at JBTNick.
61.
It is still 61. Please, for the love of God, if you're listening.
We will shout out the next follow-up on the episode, and we'll give you a free t-shirt. No, we won't.
No, we won't.
But we will shout you out on the episode.
That we will.
Yeah.
So yes, at JBT Nick is myself. We're also closely affiliated with OTG Basketball, DesignTree.com.
DSGN.
No, not there's no E. It's DSGN.
Yes, DSGN.
DSGNTree.com/offtheglass. We can pick up some merch.
Yes. JBT's coming soon.
It's very, very convenient for all our American listeners.
I mean, it's summertime and coming up in the Northern Hemisphere, Nick. You need the teas. You need solid tea game.
That's it.
Get it going.
You want Zionology on you, your chest.
You are, man. Zionology is going to be beautiful.
That's it. Especially if you're in New Orleans. Nice sunny. It's
yes,
nice sunny
the Mardi Gras. Get the beads going. You're wearing the beads. It's going to match the shirt perfectly.
You can get a That's All Folks as well, just to spite...
That's a t-shirt
Davis,
idea.
So there you go.
We can make our own t-shirt. If you guys have t-shirt ideas, like I said, at the JBT, at JBT Nick, at the JBT.
They're not only merch, they're also an awesome podcast network and news website at OTG Basketball. You can follow them on Twitter. Just Ball Things, facebook.com/JustBallThings. You can follow us there, give us a like and a follow. JBTpodcast@gmail.com and hit us up with some t-shirt ideas.
Yes!
Questions, queries, concerns, whatever you want. You just want to chat, that's cool too.
We need friends. Nick and I have each other, that's about it.
It's a lonely existence. Two is the loneliest.
We have 1 hour every week together.
Two
plus
can be
some,
as bad as one.
Some pre-time, me watching him play computer games while
And those who appreciate the World of Warcraft.
Of course.
He came in and I was halfway through Stratham. And that is, like, I think I was level 4, I'm level 52 on my shaman.
None of these words make sense.
I was halfway through and I'm like, dude, this is like the longest dungeon in the game. Just let me finish it. It was worth it. Oop, just knocked my mic over. It was worth it. I got a few levels out of it.
Good
bit
man.
Of experience of Makar Orc at the moment.
Yeah.
So I'm like Uruk-hai. I've got my face painted.
None of this means anything to me. Neither does this. This means nothing. The music manual I still haven't deciphered after years and years.
Alternative fact.
Yes.
Twitter fact.
Yes.
Wikipedia fact.
Yes.
Or fact.
And we're going to get
the
a t-shirt of that.
Four rungs.
Hopefully we get the Lady Justice. If you guys have a better idea, Nick kind of came off the great idea. Lady Justice holding those four words, which I think is a really cool idea. But if you guys have a better one, because you'll buy it, we'll probably buy our own one as well.
I mean, I'll probably buy one.
We'll just go to America and just buy it.
We're going to have
pay the $1,000 flight.
Cheaper than $45.
Cheaper, <I'm sure. laughs> That's true. That's true.
Mate.
Go.
Skip Bayless.
Skip!
He's done some... He's done some Skip Bayless-y things.
He's said some Skip Bayless-y things again.
This is coming off the loss. Just a bit of a point of reference. Golden State have just beaten the
3-0.
Portland Trailblazers. They are 3-0, so we're coming off pretty fresh on this game.
And they're not going to come back. It's never been done.
Skip.
It hasn't. It's not 3-1. It's never been done in the history of the NBA.
Okay. I agree. I mean,
just put it out there.
But Skip Bayless has had some words.
Not a fan.
About Damian Lillard. Damian Lillard. Extremely overhyped and overrated. Little more than a regular season wonder. No playoff killer in him. He did outplay Westbrook in that first round, but he's not more valuable than Westbrook. So, who plays harder and is more respected by other players?
Oh, Skip.
Skippy.
Skip.
Boy!
I'm not a fan of Skip. And this is... He's no Stephen A. Smith. And if we had our soundboard right now, we would be plugging the shit out of... Stay off the wheat.
Stay off the wheat. That's right.
Done.
Had some technical difficulties with our soundboard. So
and Skip does need to stay off the weed with this tape. Because, one, Damian Lillard is infinitely better than Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook, what has he done in the playoffs?
Hmm.
2 years in a row, he's been knocked out in the first round. So that makes him apparently better and more competitive. Like, what is the...
I mean,
what is his scale? Like, our scale...
Eastern Conference Final, but that was with Kevin Durant.
Yes, Western Conference Final.
Best
and that was, again, Kevin Durant.
Yes.
What is the scale? Like, our scale is horribly confusing. But what is the scale that Skip Bayless judges his NBA talent on? Yes, Damian Lillard has had a horrible series. And I get this via Ben DeBose on Twitter. Through nearly three games, Damian Lillard has more turnovers than made field goals against the Warriors. That's a damning stat, Nick. And I'm not saying that there isn't some credence in what Skip is saying. But I can't give this anything... Like, I'm not giving it any, like, relevancy at all. Like, it's an alternative fact. Like, he's not overhyped. I think that he is not getting the criticism that he deserves right now because Damian Lillard has built up such a likability factor to him. Like, if this was James Harden, he'd be getting crucified. If this was Stephen Curry, he'd be getting crucified. But there seems to be different rules for different players. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just how NBA Twitter, NBA pundits are. The fact that he's a more likable player, I mean, it just happens. It is what it is.
I don't think that people are giving... I feel like the criticisms to Dame right now, and you're saying he's not getting enough criticism,
yep.
And I think he's not getting enough criticism because the focus is not on Damian playing bad.
What do you think the focus is?
The focus should be on how good the Warriors are in forcing Dame to play that bad.
Yep.
He has to have a near-perfect game on offense and then back it up with defense on one of the best point guards to ever play.
But he wasn't that good either in the second round series against Denver. Like, CJ was probably better in that series.
It's been slowly getting worse because his defensive capabilities has been increased.
Yeah.
Has been... They mentioned this on the start as a drop, and I completely 110% agree with it, is that the minutes that they're playing...
Yeah.
Is not indicative to how tired they are after the end of the game.
Right.
Because they are working so much harder against the Warriors because of how the Warriors play how their defense is manic, how their offense is just incredible.
Yeah.
They are working so much harder per possession, per minute, than in the OKC series,
and
for example.
It was funny, in that first half that we watched today, Damian Lillard was still poor.
This is the first time he's been this far in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like...
The finals. Yeah. The
fatigue finals. Is 110% a factor.
But at the same time, it's the exact same thing for the other team, for the other players, for Stephen Curry,
For the player that has significantly more experience in every...
I think experience is overrated. Facet. I'm one of those people that's
miles under your legs.
Yes, but at the same time, you could look at it from the other perspective, where it's like they have more miles on their legs, so shouldn't they be tired by virtue of that circumstance? By the fact that the past 5 years, the Warriors have been there and been there and been there, so shouldn't they and LeBron James and all the rest of them be more tired than Damian Lillard, who has played less minutes over his career?
I don't think the criticisms on Lillard right now are fair. Like it's not. There's not an excuse for him
not
playing
performing
as badly as he has.
Yeah.
But then he shouldn't be crucified. He shouldn't be crucified for it.
I don't think he has been crucified. I think he's starting to be, and I think that the...
I don't think he should be at all. Like, the Warriors are a generation... The greatest team ever.
But from watching today, and from watching a little bit of the Denver series as well, Damian Lillard has changed... Maybe not the aggressive nature, just the way his intent looks a bit different. There was a couple of plays today where he was more than looking for that 3-point shot. He was looking for the 3-point foul, and he seeked out that contact. And CJ McCollum has done that a little bit as well in this series. Whereas I don't think you would rather see, and I think Damian Lillard is quite good around the rim as well. I think he's settling a little bit. I think his mentality and intent has changed somewhat. And by virtue of what you said, I agree, because he's having to come up against Andre Iguodala and Klay Thompson, two of the best guard wing defenders in the NBA, and one of the best switch defenders of all time and help defenders of all time in Draymond Green, which we'll get to. So I think that it's valid from both sides, but I think that there is validity in the fact that Damian Lillard deserves criticism and a little bit more, because if this was other players, I think we'd be going in a lot harder. Like, James Harden got more criticism across the playoffs, and he played pretty well. And he played a lot better than Damian Lillard has played across this playoffs. Just my opinion and what the vantage point and how I've sort of consumed NBA media. And I consume a little bit more than you do. So maybe it's the fact that you have an outsider's perspective compared to me gives it that little bit different of a viewpoint. But with any final things before we get to the Warriors side of things?
Again, it's just more everything that's happened to the Warriors. They're able to bounce back in the way that they have, play the way that they are, get performances from Draymond Green, who you know, at the start of this season, I'd be willing to say a couple of months in, people were ready for him to hang up his boots.
And remember, like, when we were saying how we were comparing him like with the Defensive Player of the Year thing, and he said that he had it, and we compared the games thing, we were low on him. And we've been made to eat our words, and I think that he
literally preparing himself for the playoffs.
Yeah, he's a playoff.
This is equivalent to peak Draymond Green that we've
seen. It is. And I mean, we'll get straight to that,
Nick. Yeah, that's right.
I was going to get to another Warriors one, but we'll get to that Warriors take after. And this is via he was asked a question from The Athletic, whether he is the defensive GOAT. So Draymond Green is a defensive GOAT, Nicholas. He said it himself. It was a big talking point on Twitter. I did a poll myself, got plenty of responses to it. Is Draymond Green the defensive GOAT?
I'm going with a... I don't know whether to go a hard Twitter. Alternative or a Twitter.
I'm going Twitter because he is in the conversation.
Good. He's good.
And I think people, and I know that I've been...
See, this is what I've loved about Draymond. Everyone is so ready to hate on Draymond Green. And like, sure, you can hate him as a player, you can hate him as a person.
But apparently Al Horford's better, according to you.
But... okay.
Another take you'll have to take back?
Offensive. Oh, I mean, lately he has been tremendous. But who saw this coming?
Yes,
from
I know. Nick.
Going,
I know
come
I know.
On.
You can change your takes, but you weren't right, and I was right.
It was Horford's offense at that point.
Yeah.
It's like Horford. Anyway, this isn't a Horford conversation.
No, it's not.
Thank you for calling me out. <prick. laughs> But yeah, I'll go with the Twitter because he is quite. Good. Defensively tremendous.
Do you want to hear some other people in the conversation, the poll results?
Sure. Poll results, mate. Hit me.
So the results were, I had Draymond Green, Scottie Pippen, Hakeem Olajuwon, and other, and got plenty of comments on that as well. Draymond got 17% of the vote. Scottie got 32% of the vote, who he himself said Draymond can't be the best defensive player of all time because he doesn't guard the best defensive player. And Hakeem Olajuwon got 34% of the vote, with 17% going to other. Lots of other people, including yourself, mentioned Dennis Rodman, Bill Russell, playing a different era. I'm not sure how much I agree with that, but you know, it's hard to sort of say. Yeah. Ben Wallace got plenty of love, Prime Dwight, Tony Allen as well, and then there was Meta World Peace as well, and then a person just listed off probably all of the best defensive players ever. Bill Russell, Nate Thorman, Ben Wallace, David Robinson, Kevin Garnett, who, for me, prime KG was insane.
Yeah, that was, yeah.
Michael Jordan's also a bit insane as well. Bobby Jones, Sidney Moncrief, John Havlicek, Jerry West, David Boucher, Dikembe Mutombo, who you are a fan of as well.
Mm-hmm.
Kawhi Leonard, who I think, on his best day, is the best defender in the NBA because he can guard the best player in terms of wing and guards, but can also switch like an absolute madman. Alonzo Mourning, Tim Duncan, who I think gets underrated, and Draymond Green. So a lot of people don't have Draymond Green like in the top 5 or top 10. And I think once it's all said and done, we'll be able to analyze it with a little more depth and a full resume behind it. But Draymond Green is certainly probably with Kawhi Leonard. And right now, he's the best defensive player in the league. And I think in the postseason, he's the best defensive player because Kawhi Leonard's forced to do so much on the offensive end. He sort of... You know, takes rather than taking Giannis on assignment, he'll take Chris Middleton or Eric Bledsoe or Nikola Mirotic. So, I mean, you can look at it both ways. But for one possession in one game, I think I would still take Kawhi Leonard. But over an entire game, an entire postseason, I'd probably take Draymond Green right now.
You're right. In a single possession, I probably wouldn't have Draymond Green in the top 20, probably.
I think that's a bit much.
I honestly think, of that list that you named... Majority of those people would come ahead of Draymond in a one possession. The bigs as well.
Not like, the bigs. The bigs would be able to like guard Steph or guard Damian Lillard. Draymond Green can't. Draymond Green has switchability. Kevin Garnett, I would back him in prime. Dwight Howard, you know, Dikembe Mutombo, those guys can't. Hakeem, possibly because I think he has some versatility that probably maybe goes under the radar. But he was also in a relatively close era. And maybe you take Scotty over him. Maybe you take MJ over him.
I would take MJ over him. If we're talking a single possession, but I'll continue my point. I'll continue my point now then. it's not a single possession sport.
It's not.
He is so good defensively because he is such a brilliant... In terms like he's such an intelligent basketballer.
Yeah.
Probably he reads the game. And that is what makes him a defensive juggernaut. Whether his switchability is amazing. He may not get as many blocks as Hakeem, as Dikembe. He may not be as daunting under the rim as even Joel Embiid.
Prime Dwight Howard.
But his ability to dictate defenses, a defensive scheme as a whole, run the whole defensive team, and then read the play to make the correct defensive call every single time is what I believe even he thinks that's what makes him the greatest defensive player of all time.
And I don't doubt the take. I think that when you get asked that question, you're obviously going to get... There's only one answer you're going to get. He's not going to say, oh, no, I think Scottie Pippen's better than me. He's going to say he's Draymond. But we'll stick to the Warriors. Nick, the Warriors are better off without Kevin Durant.
Alternative fact.
Yeah, of course.
Alternative fact.
Should I give you the stat, though, Nick, before we go?
Sorry?
After today, Golden State has won 30 of their last 31 games that KD doesn't play. 33-4 since KD got there when he doesn't play, but Steph
does. It becomes a natural game to the Golden State Warriors. And I'm not saying that they're... Well, I'm definitely saying they're not better. I mean, the Wizards face the same thing when John Wall came out.
Yeah.
You know, when LeBron sat out and the Lakers didn't die, I think did the Lakers die?
They died a little bit, but there were moments where they were alive.
I think it was I think they showed little bits.
Well, Brandon Ingram,
your team tends to operate differently, and it's a different mentality as well. Once you lose your trump card, you're playing with borrowed money. Like,
and if KD is your trump card, then boy oh boy, it's like having pocket aces up your sleeve.
That's what I mean. Like. They are playing with no hesitation because the excuse will be KD's out.
Yeah.
You know, we'll be better with KD.
Yeah.
So they're playing with a lot more confidence. They're playing with a lot more assurance.
Yeah.
They're playing a natural game of basketball that they had played before Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
But Kevin Durant is the best player
in
basketball.
He is.
And it doesn't matter what anyone says.
Yep.
Basketball is probably the single most... singular dominated sports on the planet.
Would you say
other than like tennis, like
it's no a, team sport?
It's the
would
most
you say
singular.
Soccer would be next.
No. Soccer, you can't win with. Like if you put Messi on the Point Cook Jets, aren't doing.
So if you
shit,
put KD like, on the Melbourne Tigers, they're going to win the championship.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, 100%. A single player can win you a championship in the NBA,
and
I don't recall any other team sport that can do that.
No, I don't think you can.
Because basketball is so dominated around protecting a single offensive player, where size is such a massive.
Advantage.
Yeah, advantage. And he has size, athleticism, and smarts.
Yep.
He's the perfect package of all three.
He is the most well-rounded player, you know, probably we've seen in a very, very long time. With that, I will say that someone put on Twitter quite recently after this discussion has always been a thing. And we've discussed it on JBT before in terms of who's the most important player to Golden State. I did a poll for it, which I'll reveal the results of in a little bit as this sort of discussion was happening. I think that people enjoy the Golden State Warriors more without Kevin Durant.
100%.
But they are...
They are a more enjoyable team to watch.
Because you're watching the ball fizz around, it's Draymond playing like...
People like isolated basketball.
But
Melo's not a fan of... Like, people hate Melo. People hate Harden.
Yeah.
People hate KD.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and I mean... I think that this Golden State Warriors team is enjoyable either way. I said in the preseason, and I stuck with this sort of narrative in the fact that when I was doing season previews for OG Basketball and the NBA outlet, that we know the ending to this story by the championship and who's going to win it, but it doesn't mean that we can't enjoy, you know, the story along the way. It's completely different to like in Game of Thrones where you have no idea what's going to happen.
I think we said this last week as well. It's not about the destination.
It's about the journey,
about
Nicholas.
The journey.
Did you have any other thoughts while I find this poll that I put
out? No, I mean, any stats that people come out with saying, you know, supporting the whole, you know, like the 31, it is literally because they're playing with a lot more confidence. It doesn't make them a better team. Like, It allows them to have more flaws, I guess, because if Kevin Durant has a bad game, then it's sort of... Try to come back from that is difficult. But it's nonsense to say that it would be a better team without him.
Well, people think Stephen Curry is more important in their championship aspirations. 86% of people voted for him being more important to 14% with KD.
That's a heart and soul thing, though.
Yeah,
the heart and soul of the team, of the fan base. The fans will just fall flat if... Steph is out, or like Steph is that team, the embodiment of that team.
Yeah,
Kevin Durant is just a super powered add-on.
Yeah,
that they've added.
What an add-on!
Whereas Steph is the base.
Yeah, and I mean, I like a good. It's like, you know, you're talking about that What cheese was it? A Maltesers cheesecake you made?
Oh, it was a Kinder cheesecake.
Kinder cheesecake. So, what is Stephen Curry in this Kinder cheesecake?
The cheese.
And Kevin Durant is the Maltesers.
Whereas Kevin Durant is would be like
the Kinder.
All the toppings, all the things that make it better.
Yeah.
Like the drizzle, the chocolate drizzle on top, the Easter eggs that I put inside, the Bueno pieces inside. Yeah. But without
what's your favorite part?
Without
of
the cheese, you've just got an assortment of chocolate.
What's your
which
favorite,
is still good.
What would you prefer in that cheesecake? Would you just prefer a plain cheesecake, or would you just prefer a heap of the add-ons?
Well, that's what I mean. If you want a cheesecake, and the Warriors want to be the Warriors, then they need Steph Curry.
Then they need.
And if you want a cheesecake, then you need the cheese.
So Stephen Curry is cheese. It's essentially what we've come out of this discussion.
I reckon, like, we're joking about this, but that is actually a tremendously good analogy.
We are soundbiting the shit out of this. Now, Nick, they're likely opponents in the finals, at least at this stage. We're only two games into the Eastern Conference Finals. Seem to be the Milwaukee Bucks, and it was spoken about today on the broadcast as well. The Milwaukee Bucks should be championship favorites.
They were talking about this on the broadcast, and the more and more I listen to Jeff Van Gundy, the more and more I think he's going slightly senile. I mean, I love the guy. He has some good takes, and he can be very funny sometimes.
But he also
came out with trade LeBron earlier in the year.
Like, that came back as a rumor.
I know.
It's like the rumor was put out. It's like they just revisited the Jeff Van Gundy rumor. And
I mean, as a neutral, I would love LeBron James to be traded because the drama. Man.
Oh man,
the content.
Imagine the Game of Zones episode of that. That would be insane.
True. We're all about the content here. I can't even remember. Oh, yes, we'll be championship favourites. No, alternative fact.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be.
See, this is, and I buy into, yes, the Milwaukee Bucks have been the best team all season up to this point, but that the difference between them and the Golden State Warriors being a championship favourite is still not a marginal gap, not a large gap.
The difference is three championships in the last 4 years,
and,
5 years.
And
potentially a fourth.
And I think still Kevin Durant is a better guy I would rather go to than Giannis Antetokounmpo. Whether he is back and fully healthy is another thing.
They're unproven against the Warriors in the playoffs. And that's the thing. That's the thing. It's not just unproven in the playoffs. I mean, they've proven that they can be up to scratch in the playoffs. Budenholzer's played like 10 people.
They've lost two games.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
This is like a Cavs and Warriors-esque run to the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
Especially if they easily dispatch the Raptors, which
could happen.
It could
not good
happen.
For your sports bet multi, though.
No, not
projected
good
faith multi.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't put money on it, but I should have. I mean, we'll see. We'll see come tomorrow. But yeah, it's the fact that they have to play the Warriors in the playoffs, because the Warriors are a different beast in the playoffs.
Yeah, so in that sort of sense, I spoke about in previous episodes, and I think it was probably at the start of the playoffs, where I compared, and it was, I think it was Abusic Manuel, where I compared the Milwaukee Bucks to the first iteration of the Golden State Warriors.
Mm.
I still see those similarities. I know you're not as big on it, but I still see them very strongly. Obviously, they don't have the same high-end talent, but I see the similar sort of run, the sort of fairy tale sort of story to it, their first sort of time, and they're probably going to make the finals. Obviously, a lot can change in a week, and we could be back, and we'll be talking about it, and it could be Toronto versus
they are playing
Golden
with
State.
The Bucks are playing with no fear at the moment, which is what you see a lot of. You see a lot of playoff teams fall short because they are, I don't know, concerned of, you know, whether that's the right play.
They're
thinking
go
too much. They're playing so instinctually because they're playing the same brand of basketball that they played in the regular season.
That's true.
Which you don't really see.
Yeah,
the playoffs are a different beast, and people change their game depending on their opponents, whereas Budenholzer has obviously implemented such a well-rounded system that it has worked so far in the playoffs. It's worked against the Raptors and everyone else.
Yeah.
Like, convincingly so. Yeah. Their players are motivated. They're locked in. They're a happy bunch of people, which can't be overstated. I mean, that's why the Golden State Warriors have been the team that they have been so far. They're a happy bunch of players.
Well, there's been moments where they haven't been as happy, obviously, with Golden State.
And Durant has been, this is what I mean. The add-on is the cheese.
Some people might not like
Steph
Maltesers
is the cheese.
And the Kinder Eggs, Nicholas. They might just like a plain cheesecake.
That's right.
So, yeah, I think they shouldn't be championship favourites. They're a clear second.
Yeah, this is an alternative. I'm going strong with an alternative.
For me, I still think, though, that it would go at least six games if there were to be a series with the Golden State Warriors. Now, that's projecting forward. And we could be back next week and we'll have a completely different take. But we will get to the Raptors. And Nicholas, OTG, off the glass, their poll, we're going to steal right from here. Kawhi Leonard won't be wearing a Raptors uniform next season. A lot of traction on this poll, and I love give me, the results.
Give me some poll results, because I reckon he still will.
Okay, interesting. 707 votes.
Wow.
Massive nice. Turnout for this one. 13% for the Raptors. 10% 13? For other...
13. Oh, okay.
31% for the Clippers. 46% for my Brooklyn Nets.
Really? Wow.
I mean,
the majority of your fan base are Brooklynites. So.
Yeah, it was probably Nick holding down the Twitter that night. There was a new Brooklyn Buzz episode.
I mean, making
out that
a million burner accounts, just voting.
I was. I had 340 burner accounts that accounted for that 46%. It's not going to happen. It's not the Brooklyn Nets. I think that the Clippers are in the other position. I've been strong on them. I'm going to remain strong on the Los Angeles Clippers as the other I would have voted for. You're still on the Raptors. We shall see.
This is not the first time we've talked about Kawhi. Even in recent, I think 2 weeks ago we talked about his free agency.
The houses he's been buying, Nicholas. Nice houses.
I know it's damning, nice, but if you're gonna buy a holiday house anyway, it's probably gonna be in LA.
It's probably
anyway, or maybe like south of France or something.
Yeah,
like some
or the Hamptons.
Oh yeah, I mean if they want to stay local,
Hawaii.
Come to Australia, mate. We've got some nice beaches.
Could you imagine?
We're away from everyone. You can be away from the media.
Kawhi would probably not get noticed that much.
I don't think so. Basketball's a decent following in Australia.
If you see a guy wearing New Balance shoes, it's like, oh, well, that's clearly not a basketball player. Rather than the face of that brand.
Yeah, that's right.
So before we move on, Nick, because this is a pretty quick topic. If the Raptors win, this might be an obvious answer. I'll change it to the other way. If the Raptors lose, does that change your opinion more than if the Raptors win? So either way, do you think Kawhi is staying?
I'm one of those people who is a firm believer of once you've got the goal, then you decide to settle down. So like a lot of people say, oh well, you know, if the Raptors win the NBA championship, then of course he'll stay.
Yeah.
Maybe he's got his championship. Let's go home.
It's been said before, Nick. Yeah.
Like, people... Yeah,
maybe he likes poutine.
I think win or lose... they're not going to win the NBA championship, so let's just take that off the cards.
Yeah.
Even if they win this series, lose to the Warriors, or lose against the Bucks right now...
Yeah.
Even if it's in four...
Okay.
I still think he will stay.
Ooh,
that
I like
game, that Game 7 winner cemented him quickly.
Okay.
He literally, one season... Oh, okay. I'm not going to say what I was going to say. That's probably a bit too far.
Okay.
But he has cemented himself into Toronto folklore.
He has,
and he will be forever loved by that city, whether he stays or whether he stays or goes.
Yeah.
But he'll stay because he's loved there. He'll be loved wherever he goes. He's loved in Toronto. He obviously likes. He likes the organization, how they've dealt with him. Like I made these. I made these points 2 weeks ago, and I still think they reign true.
Okay,
you saw the expression on his face when he hit that Game 7 win.
Yeah, but that doesn't.
This is Kawhi Leonard.
But yeah, Kevin Durant could have that expression and still go to New York.
I know, that's true. He was feeling ecstasy in that moment, but I feel like it means more.
I looked to the Serge Ibaka cooking YouTube show where he was asked literally by him where they had, I think they had like testicle pizza or some shit, because Serge he's a sexy man. Serge Ibaka's a sexy man. But he eats some very not sexy foods. And he asked him, so he's like, he literally just asked him, so you're coming back next season? He's like, oh, I don't know. So in a very Kawhi-esque way. Like in the video that's been making the rounds quite recently, it's like, so where do you go from here, Kawhi, after that Game 2 loss? He's like, oh, we go back to Toronto for Game 3. And I'm just like, that is the most Kawhi answer. Yeah. Like you
very, very.
You know those bots,
like taken literally.
Yeah, you know those bots that like come up with like episodes of stuff when you like give them, feed them a script or whatever.
Adam Sandler.
Yeah, literally, where you feed like just them years and years of Kawhi quotes or whatever. That would be the direct quote that like an AI version of Kawhi.
What's the is Osimo? Osimo 3000 or something like that. Yeah.
I am Osimo. Speaking of Osimo, an Osimo basketball player. Anthony Davis should stay in New Orleans, Nicholas. Zionology has come to New Orleans.
I mean, how old is...
26.
Okay, just know that off the top of your head. He'll be 30 by the time his fourth year into basketball.
I'm so big on the timelines. It's
yeah.
not good. This isn't, like, going to happen. It's not. But for should state, this is a fact for me, because Anthony Davis, Zion Williamson, and Jrue Holiday, you add in pieces around that with the expertise of a guy like David Griffin, who can get guys. He's proven it before.
Yeah,
he
well, that's the thing. The new front office. Yeah, the new front office.
Like, I feel like there would be a championship contender.
He still says he wants to leave.
He's going to leave. Like, it's, and we'll get to, like, you know, where he should go after this. But should say, it's a fact for me before we get to the next one. What do you think? Do you, like, take out the fact that, like, oh, is he going to go? Should he stay? That's the terminology.
I'll give this one a wiki, because I think there's still a little bit of uncertainty in that. Will Zion be good right away? Will he be good at all? Like, I know that, like, sort of silly things,
mm-hmm.
but I don't want to see him. I don't want to see him, like, bomb. You yeah. know, like, and
I think the worst that, that
it's such a big gamble to you already hate the franchise.
Yeah,
it's all such a massive decision to say I'm going to stay because you're going to be good.
Yeah,
that's so much pressure on the kid.
He would be the third best player on the team, whereas if Anthony Davis leaves, he's going to be the second best player on the team. So there's going to be more pressure on that. Obviously, you know, the package that they're getting.
I don't think there will be. I don't think if Anthony Davis leaves, there'll be less pressure on Zion, I reckon.
And I think the reason why Anthony Davis is going to leave is because it's Zion's team now. Like, after the announcement was made, they sold 2,000 season tickets. The same thing happened when they got the first pick for Anthony Davis. They sold half that amount.
Why? Why are you buying season tickets? They could not draft Zion. They could trade the pick. That, you don't know what's going to happen, Jack. This is the most valuable...
That's fait accompli. I think that this is... the most fact in Busey Manuel history is they are drafting Zion. That's like...
What are other teams going to throw for a Zion pick?
What, like, what would, unless you're giving me Kevin Durant for the number one pick, there is nothing more, like, in terms of trade value commodities, the number one pick, i.e., which is going to be Zion Williamson, is the most valuable thing right now. I wouldn't trade LeBron James for it. LeBron James has two more years of his career and is your GOAT and is, you know, a GOAT in Game of Zones as well. You've got him locked up for 7 years, essentially. You've got, like, a max contract out of... You got his rookie contract and then another max rookie contract or something out of him. You know, literally, how long they've had Anthony Davis for? For 8 seasons. They haven't made it work. I back David Griffin in more than Dell Demps and such, but it's going to happen.
I know what you mean, but... I don't know, man. Nothing's set in stone.
It is a weird and wonderful
league. I have no doubt that... You know, if they have the number one pick going into the draft, they're picking Zion. There's not a...
John Morant!
There is not...
Give me Jared Culver, baby!
There is
Rui
no...
Rui Hachimura!
...denying who they're going to pick.
Jackson Hayes!
But the trade... People are going to be throwing anything and everything at David Griffin.
Someone brought up
pick.
Bradley on some podcast. Bradley Beal and the number nine pick. I mean, that's not worth...
That's not... I mean, no,
that's
no,
not enough. Chuck in John Wall.
But there are some questionable organizations there who will throw their entire future. Do a Brooklyn Nets, except it's much worth it for Zion.
I mean, yeah. Zion
and
is
Jaren Williams.
Zion Williamson is better than D'Angelo Russell. Maybe not better than Caris LeVert. Nick Fay might not agree. Yeah. But Nick, the Knicks have the best trade package for Anthony Davis.
Still in the Davis chat.
Of course, Nick. It's big news, mate, after the draft.
Okay.
What's
this package that you...
This little package!
Yes.
Alright, so... Let's just go through the three most popular candidates in the Anthony Davis sweepstakes. The Lakers have pick four, Kyle Kuzma, Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart, and the rest. Brendan Ingram.
Every other player except for LeBron James.
Essentially.
Jeannie Buss, you can take her.
Why not? Tape Rob Pelinka. You probably have to give them a pick back for that. And then the Knicks have, to me, what is the best asset in any deal, apart from Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. in the number three pick, which would be RJ Barrett. I did a poll on Twitter. Who would you rather have for the next 10 years, Brandon Ingram or RJ Barrett? It was a close poll, but RJ Barrett came out with 58% of the vote.
And he hasn't even played NBA yet.
He hasn't, but
that's
I think...
That's what it'd be. The poll is still for him. He hasn't played NBA yet.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, this is based off how we project these two players to be. I think RJ Barrett is a more likely all-star in this league. If he stays East, I think that's even more likely. Brandon Ingram's good. I don't buy into him. If the Celtics keep Kyrie Irving, they have the best package. Because you can trade Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and whatever else. And you have Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis. Why would you trade for Anthony Davis if Kyrie Irving goes to New York, goes to Brooklyn, whatever it might be? So for me, the package is available. The Knicks don't have the best package. So for me, that's an alternative fact. Mm-hmm. I would rank the Celtics. I think I've said to...
Well, what's the Knicks package? What would it be? Like,
the Knicks would have the third pick, RJ Barrett. They would have... Nilekina is already being talked about to be traded out of, and they want to pick back and return the Knicks. So it would be Kevin Knox, Mitchell Robinson, Alonzo Trier, and all these sort of other guys. Horrible package.
What?
Kevin Knox, your rookie of the year, Nicholas, is not a good player.
He had some spurts.
He had... I think he maybe he got like...
Games.
He got like maybe two votes in Rookie Watch, if that.
Because he had two games. But they were great games.
Yes, whatever you want. But Mitch Robinson's really good. I really value him. I think he's a really good player and a nice sort of guy to sort of build around as a defensive stopper. But out of those packages, it's Celtics at their best. It's Lakers next. And then Knicks. And then my sneaky pick that I've spoken about on OGG, on the Brooklyn Bars, on other things, is the Los Angeles Clippers. I think that they can get in. They have a lot of assets. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Landry Shamet, a lot of these...
good rookies, yeah.
And those are guys are proven rookies.
Mm.
Like, proven. They've proven it in the postseason.
Mm.
And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has proven it. He's played well. Landry Shamet is like... Every team needs a Landry Shamet. Like, they need a JJ Redick, young version. He's got 10 to 15 years in this league left ahead of him. And I think he would be awesome next to Zion. Awesome next to him. So for me, I'm a big Clippers fan, and don't count them out. They're my team to watch. But, the Knicks to me, this is alternative fact.
Yeah,
I don't have
no,
those.
I mean, given what you've told, given the packages that you've just presented, yeah, it's definitely not as appealing as a Celtics. Even from an... I know Anthony Davis doesn't really have much of a say or a say in this at all.
Yeah.
But you'd rather be going to the Celtics who... They trade for him, they keep...
Would you rather be going to the Celtics if Kyrie Irving leaves? And it's just Jalen... And it's literally just you and Marcus Smart.
So...
Terry Rozier might stick around as well, Nick.
If... Okay, yeah, okay.
He might not.
So you trade Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown,
and something else.
And then it's just Horford?
Yeah.
Horford and yeah.
That's a good phone call, Nick.
I mean, it is.
You're a big fan of Al Horford.
I am. That's not going to stop that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
Fair enough. Nick, we'll get to... we'll get to this one very quickly. The NBA draft should be abolished.
Abolished.
Now, obviously...
That was some crazy take.
It's a take that comes out every single year, my friends, in the sense that it takes away from what the American way of life is, essentially, where you get your own independence, the sort of capitalist way, where you get to choose where you want to work, you get to make the most money that you want, and teams bid for, you know, Zion Williamson can get a max if that's what the New York Knicks want to offer him. And, you know, Zion gets to pick that he tapped the Atlanta Hawks logo on draft day. He gets to go to Atlanta and get like a nice deal and hang out with Trae Young and John Collins. I think that there's pros and cons to it, but I like it as a balancing system. And I like the lottery in comparison to what the AFL does, where they just give the first pick to the shittest team, because I think that adds an element. And especially after this year, where the lottery odds have been flattened, and a team like your Wizards, who were projected to get the sixth pick...
We were 9% to get the first pick.
Yeah, and
the
Wizards. You should have got the sixth pick by projection. You have the sixth worth of record, and you got the ninth pick. The Bulls dropped, the Suns dropped, the Knicks actually jumped up, funnily enough, despite the fact that they didn't get the first pick. So, what are your thoughts to on this one, Nicholas? I know you like your young players and this sort of stuff. You're a coach. What do you think?
I do, but... I mean, I've seen it in, and it's more because football, there is no salary cap.
Okay.
You see the rich get richer.
Yeah.
And you see the players that, you know, you can start clearing. I mean, players do it right now. They clear space for free agents and then try to bid big for those free agents.
Yep.
Would you be happy to see Zion Williamson come into a team with a max?
It would be strange, but I think that it would be deserved. It's like the market dictates, and this is something that I buy into in general. You know, you can talk about housing markets, you can talk about, you know, whatever products you want. The market dictates what something is worth. Like, if someone pays something for you, you know, yes, Timofey Mozgov wasn't worth 4 years, $64 million, but someone paid that for him.
But you'll see a lot more gamble in terms of, hey, we're going to take a flyer on this unproven NBA prospect by giving him more money than everyone else.
Shouldn't that make the rich richer? And maybe, like, you know, it makes LA and New York, those organizations, richer. But doesn't it also leave more to your development staff, to your coaching staff, to your front office staff to go, okay, we back ourselves in our scouting here. We think this guy is going to be transformational in terms of...
But then if it's on this player to pick, he could take a reduced salary for a better organization.
He could, and that's the thing. Like, that's why,
but
I think...
that's where the rich will get richer, because a team with... Like, your low-market teams...
Phoenix.
...won't be good,
Memphis.
Ever.
Do you...
Why would you pick to go to... Even if they can offer you... Because it's not going to be the difference between, like, $1 million a year...
Yeah.
...and $25 million a year. The gulf is not going to be that big.
Yeah.
I mean, if it is, then you'd obviously pick the lower market team because, you know, you want to get paid.
Yep.
But these guys are going to want to succeed in their careers. They're going to succeed in organizations that they feel, I guess, organized, have a great structure, have great vets around them, have tremendous experience, all of the factors outside of money that... inherent in the club, in the team. So teams like the Golden State Warriors, the Lakers, the Celtics, the Knicks, these big market organizations can sell you on the fact that you are going to be huge.
Yeah.
You're going to be wealthy, famous, whatever.
Yeah.
You're going to be in the spotlight. You know, a lot of people like that, especially now that college is picking up their popularity. People are starting to get more and more recognized, I guess. And these big teams are just going to have a monopoly on the market.
But doesn't, I think in the most part, it's ownership that makes the biggest advantage. So like teams, players aren't going to want to go to Phoenix, but if you abolish the draft system, doesn't that force teams, like I think it forces teams to get better. I'm still a fan of the draft system in terms of a way of providing some sort of parity. I don't think that there is a perfect system at all. And I think that there's never going to be a perfect system in terms of parity because it's sports and you can't provide parity. Like the AFL is probably the best at it because it's a lot easier to provide parity in a sport that has 22 players and 40 players on a roster. And you can, you know, coaches and anything can change in a season and trades can happen, blah, 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 blah. Whereas NBA parity is a lot harder to achieve in that sort of sense. But
I think you'll see the longest droughts extend. And extend for a very long time, even playoff droughts,
yeah,
if you abolish the NBA draft.
Yeah, I mean, but at the same time, those teams can still offer the contract if they want to. Like, it depends. If you are a young team and you have no aspirations of getting, you know, I guess those market teams, generally that's the way that they get their superstars through the draft. You know, Utah, Memphis, Phoenix, maybe not Phoenix, Utah, Memphis, Indiana, don't necessarily get superstars to trade.
But you're essentially asking, like, you're asking an independent grocer to go up against Colt. Like,
no.
It was exaggeration in terms of the gap, but...
There is still the salary cap, though, Nick. That's the thing. There's still the salary cap to provide that parity. And I think this could be a whole episode's discussion. Yeah. So we'll get to Brooklyn Bits, and I guess we'll sort of sing the music.
We'll get the music in. Here's Brooklyn Bits. Yes, Brooklyn Bits is back. I don't think we did it last week.
We didn't do that.
Oh, Wizards Woes. Oh, it's been all wall-to-wall playoff basketball.
Wall to wall. Of John Wall, and he plays for the Wizards, but he doesn't actually play because he's injured. He's going to be injured for a very long time,
he's doing his business.
And his Supermax starts next year, and it's going to be a very lot of money. Yes, and $47 million of his last year, he's going to opt into that. Thanks.
I dislike you. Brooklyn. Bits. Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving are Brooklyn bound. Mate, did you write this?
I definitely did. But also, it was brought up by Mark Stein, a very accredited source.
Mark Stein at
the New York Times.
Bang.
Both players apparently going to take a long look at the Brooklyn Nets organization. Stephen A. Smith is a big fan of the Brooklyn Nets as well, wants them to go there. I don't think that it's going to happen. Kenny Atkinson
not
also...
both. Or even one. What's your likelihood of one coming? Whether it's
that's a good question. Out of Kyrie and KD,
Do you reckon there's a big chance to land one of them?
I think that they're a package deal.
You reckon they're a package deal?
Okay. I think possibly. So, but if maybe KD just wants to go to New York, the Knicks, no matter what, I think that that's going to happen. And I think Kyrie will probably join him. Even though I think Kemba Walker would be better in New York. Alongside KD, I think he's better at just taking that backward seat, that back seat. Are they Brooklyn bound? No, this is an alternative fact, Nick. This is going to disappoint fellow Brooklyn Nets fans, and I'm a little more realistic when it comes to most fans.
Realistic or pessimistic?
Realistic.
You're a glass half full kind of guy.
I'm a... empty, you mean?
Yeah.
You literally said... You're an idiot.
Yeah, I am.
I think that it's more likely that the Nets land a guy like Jimmy Butler or Tobias Harris. And I would prefer, out of those two, I'd prefer Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, Butler would be great.
Brooklyn Buzz is going to be covering plenty of playoff pods. Not playoff pods. Plenty of free agency pods. We've got a D'Angelo Russell, a breakdown of his season coming up very soon. Caris LeVert one's already out. We did a season review with the team. So plenty of, and we're going to be coming all free agency. We're going to go in depth onto who fits best and all that sort of stuff, position rankings and stuff. But Kyrie and KD, I can't see it. If you give me a percentage, Nick, that either of those or both of those guys land.
Is it sub 10%?
No, I was going to say 15.
Okay. Well, yeah. that's something. One in six. That's not bad. Yeah. Wait, no.
Yeah, it's 1 in 6 and a half.
Yes.
Yeah. 1 in almost 7. I was going to go just something less than 20, but more than 10. I think that there's something there. I think that, you know, there's the Knicks, there's the Clippers, there's the Lakers, there's all these other teams.
Wizards!
Shut up. but it's fun because the Nets are in the conversation. And when you're in the conversation, then, you know, at least you're having chats.
It's hope as well, like, which is something that Brooklyn Nets have not had a lot of over the past
and
5 years.
When we started this podcast, I mean, Nick was just on his high horse, the highest of horse, like Arya on her white horse, her high white horse. And now, I mean, there was no imagery to that. I don't understand the imagery of that, but Nick's horse is dead. It's a dead horse now.
It's dead horse.
It's
dog's eye dead horse.
We're literally beating a dead horse. That is the Washington Wizards. A lot has changed since the history of our podcast, and we haven't been gone that long. So,
all right, time to drink some bleach. Let's get on to Wizards. Wizards wise.
The Washington Wizards are making noise.
I drank some bleach all the way down to the blue, and now I'm starting to feel like Harry Potter.
Washington Wizards need to do everything they can to lure Nuggets president Tim Connelly away from Denver.
Yeah, Nick, so he's Tim Connelly has a history of Washington. I think he's lived there before. I know that the offer has been made to him already. I think it's a 4-year offer. Tim Connelly apparently wants 5. He's on a relatively cheap deal as a front office executive in Denver. I think it's $2 million per year. You know, the guy that drafted Nikola Jokic, the guy that drafted Jamal Murray, Gary Harris, you know, he's got a good history in terms of his front office-dom. And the fact that the Denver Nuggets, you know, granted him this opportunity to seek out this position, I think it's almost inevitable that he may end up with your organization. And the fact that you have a decent front office head could be really positive going into a pretty crucial offseason for a lot of teams.
Tim is a much better name than Ernie.
Yes, Nick! Tim greater than Ernie. There's a t-shirt for you, designtree.com, yeah. DSGN.
Damn right. But yeah, I mean, this guy has proven that he can at least draft.
Yeah.
Like, even if it's just a
got
simple...
Got Paul Millsap as well in free agency.
As simple as drafting. Obviously, savvy free agency moves, like just as you mentioned. Just someone with a fresh... honestly, it would be anyone would be better. Even if they had a track record of poor moves, poor draft picks. It is a fresh face, it's a fresh voice, and people... The Wizards organization are going to come into this bright-eyed,
yeah.
You know, with, you know, open minds. And that's the key difference. We were bogged down with Mr. Grunfeld. And it just, it trickles down into all facets of the organization. And it just poisons the whole franchise, which is a shame that it can get to that point. But yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of just the change in general, and a lot of Wizards fans will agree. We'll wait and see whether they have to do everything they can to lure Nuggets president Nuggets president.
Give them the money, Teddy boy. Open up those wallets, mate.
Do we have the money? I mean, that's not part of the salary cap.
No, it's not. And that's one thing that I've always said.
It's all privatized. Okay, yeah, beautiful.
So. Some background to Tim Connelly, Nick. He's originally from West Baltimore. He attended Catholic University and earned an internship with the Wizards while he was in college. He was hired as a video assistant coordinator after he graduated, and he stayed with the franchise and was in player personnel and scouting roles before leaving in 2010. So the history with the organization, I think, bodes well.
Mm-hmm.
I think as well it has been rumored that he won't leave for less than $4 million per year on a five-year deal. I think that is chum change, $20 million for...
Is that what executives get paid? Is that the standard... Because that is...
Well, he's on $2 million now, like I just said, so that's nothing.
That's criminal.
I have no idea what Dovie Griffin's on. You know, the best coaches, like, you know, if you're a young coach, you get like $2 million.
Why would you ever want to stop playing basketball? Oh my god, players get ridiculous amounts of money.
That's why the vets stick around, and it's completely different. And I think Greg Popovich is one of the only coaches, if not the only coach, that's on eight figures. I think he's on $10 million or something. Wow, that's just okay. Something I've read. But yeah, I think that there's a lot of history there, Nick, and I think that it's nice to give you a bit of positivity in relation to Wizards' woes. It's more like Wizards' ways.
Yes, I mean, Wizards' woes. It's going to be weird if the Wizards become something in the next 2 years, which maybe not.
Final thought, Nick. I'll give you a couple of minutes, maybe a minute or two, to speak about Bradley Beal being rumoured in Lakers trades for that fourth pick, possibly.
I wouldn't mind it. Honestly, I wouldn't mind it.
Okay. Jared Culver!
I love Bradley Beal. I've loved Bradley Beal for a very long time now. As with, you know, all Wizards faithful have always loved Bradley Beal. But I think it is time to start. Honestly, I think it's time to start fresh. If you have the chance to get that number four pick, potentially.
I don't think the pick's going to be that great, though. It's essentially like a top three draft, and like number one, number two is in the interior of his own, and then number three is in the interior of his own. And then Culver, DeAndre Hunter are okay.
But then even if you can prove something in the first year, maybe have a decent rookie season, you can sell high.
Yep.
Or you can sell high before the draft and you make moves like that. You get more assets. You know, more younger assets, the better. Even
get Ingram.
Yeah, that's right.
Something like that.
So I'm all for asset collecting. And I know it's going to be bad. The first season I started following the NBA, the Wizards finished last in the East.
Yeah.
The next season we finished in the playoffs. So, you know.
Lot can change.
Things can turn around. I'm just looking forward to just having stability in an organization. That's what I want.
Yeah.
If it's stability in a bad sense, that's fine. Just no news headlines, please.
And we will just keep Wizards Woes titled Wizards Woes for the foreseeable future.
That's it.
Spiel.
All right, that just about does it for another week. So thank you so much for tuning in to Just Ball Things. You can catch us on the Nothing But Net Dash Radio channel, as always. Catch us on Apple Pods, Google Pods, Pocket Casts, Blog Talk Radio, wherever it is you listen to your podcasts. Do us a solid, leave us a rating and review. Helps us out a bunch. So remember, it's you guys that make this show great. So we appreciate any and every post heading our way. So until next week,
keep balling, superstars.